You with Vectis Radio, and our special guest is the one, the only David Icke, and we want to talk about the show a bit more in a mo. I want to talk about chemtrails.
Right.
I want to talk about what you're working on at the moment, but you had a little trip to East Cowes. Do you want to, can you talk about this?
No problem.
Because I think it's topical. It's to do with the Olympic Games.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been saying for years that governments don't run the world, corporations do, and the corporations in the end are owned by a handful of families, even though they have different names. And we've seen such a microcosm of it in the Olympics, where you've got these major corporations who are trying to sell their products to young people and would-be sports people, and these products are saturated in sugar and all the other rubbish that they put into food today. But we'll use the Olympics because it will be good for our image, and they've put in total about $1 billion, absolutely top whack. The British people are put in about $9 billion in tax and debt, which we'll pay for by tax. And yet all the benefits, all the copyright benefits have gone to the corporations, to the extent that people are being prosecuted or threatened with prosecution if they have the Olympic rings, the Olympic flame, words like 2012 London Olympics on their shop window. I mean, it's ridiculous. There was a very, very good article in one of the national newspapers it was a rewrite from the Spectator magazine, in which this guy was looking at some of the things that had happened where, for instance, a woman put in a knitted doll to a church sale, but it was withdrawn from the church sale because it had the Olympic rings knitted into the jumper. You had an Afghanistan veteran who carried the flame on one leg, and he had to have the logos on his trainers taped over because it was a different company to Adidas that had got the contract. I mean, so when I went to East Cowes and I went to see the flame come through because I wanted to get some pictures of my own for an article I was writing that week, and I'm walking around and the flame has already gone to the west from Yarmouth and Totland, that area. It's coming through Newport. The Olympic Games by then are, what, 2 weeks away, something like that? Yeah. And I walked around East Cowes. You would not know there was an Olympic Games on. There was nothing. There was no rings. There was no symbols. There was no Olympics of any kind. Why? Because people by then were terrified of prosecution for using these basic symbols of the Olympics, which the British people have coughed up £9 billion to put on. Now, this is classically the way that corporations are now controlling governments and getting everything that they want. And the people are just there to serve the corporations. This has gone on all over the country. And by the way, you know, when you do research, the world looks different. You know, this Olympic flame going around the country. Oh, it's an Olympic tradition. No, it's not. Started in 1936 by the Nazis. The Nazis were the first people to have the flame brought on relays from Greece. It didn't happen before. Hitler and Goebbels, his propaganda chief, decided that it would be great to promote the Fourth Reich. And so they had the flame kindled in Greece and then relayed across Europe to the games in Berlin. That's where it started. And there's a lot of things about the Olympics. I could talk for hours about that as well. But it's once again, the corporations are dictating, as they do, like the banks dictate to governments, as we've seen outrageously since 2008.
All right, that kind of clears that. I didn't know about the flame. I thought that was. I mean, because obviously you're told.
The flame in the stadium's been going for longer, but not the whole relay around the country. That's the Nazis we have to thank for that.
Okay, and $9 billion quid. I mean, yeah. I didn't know it was that much either.
You know, another thing about the Olympics, Ian, is that, you know, when you see that Boris Johnson can be mayor of London, when you see that John Prescott can be deputy prime minister of Britain, When you see that William Hague can be Foreign Secretary of Britain, when I wouldn't trust them to run a whelk stall on a hot day in Blackpool, when their, shall we say, intellect is not gigantic, it just shows what idiots the public have are taken for. And to vote him in, well, are these people in? Well, what can you say? You know, when you look at the quality of politician, are they going to stand up to the corporations on behalf of the people? No, no. This is why Johnson and Co. and all these people have given them everything they want.
Fascinating. We are sort of, I mean, we're about 20 minutes away from the end, so there was a couple of subjects I want to talk about. What are you working on at the moment? What is going to shock us next, or what is going to open our eyes next?
Well, that, at Medina on 15th of September and at Wembley on the 27th of October, it's a whole new presentation. It's going to take the whole thing a long way forward. And I can tell you now, which is usual with my stuff, is we're going to go really, really deep in the rabbit hole on so many levels, because we have to have some comprehension of the nature of reality, the nature of the reality we're experiencing, to understand how 7 billion can be manipulated and directed and their lives controlled in so many ways by literally at the core a handful of people. They know how reality works. They know how the mind works. And because of the pathetic education system, or what passes for it, we have the Stone Age science, Stone Age medicine, Stone Age psychology that we're given as cutting edge. The general population does not know how the mind works and how reality works. So immediately, if you do and your target population don't, you are in a fantastic position of power to manipulate the perception of self and the world and world events of your target populations. And the event and the books go deeply into that too, because we have to understand that, because that's when people go, oh, I can see how they do it now. But without that knowledge, it's like, no, a few people control billions, impossible. No, piece of cake if you know what you're doing.
Absolutely. excuse me. I was going to ask you about how you separate life from, you know, is there a way that you can control yourself a little bit so you can look at life a little bit more differently, i.e. you look at the Olympic Games. There are some positives, aren't there? You must be looking at some of these gold medal winners and thinking, way to go.
Yes.
Or is it all because...
Exactly, you see. Within everything, you see, nothing is black and white if you really get into it. It's all shades of grey. So the Olympics is a corporate fest of greed and exploitation. And a lot of people have made a lot of money from that. And an agenda's moved on. I mean, you know, I could talk for an hour about the opening ceremony and what that was all symbolically saying. But I'll go into some of that at Medina. But at the same time, within that, are some fantastic performances. I mean, the other night was amazing, but it's possible to have those performances. It's possible to have that spectacle and yet not have the exploitation and not have the manipulation. That, you know, one doesn't cause the other. One takes place despite the other.
Okay. But you do you find it easy to switch off and sort of, you know, because I go home and I think, right, I've been running this place for almost 3 years and I'm grumpy and I can't focus. Sometimes I can't focus on anything else. Everything is negative. But can you go home and sort of say, right, okay, I'm going to watch Chris Hoy win a gold medal and feel joyous when he does?
Yeah.
If he does.
When was it Mo Farah?
Yeah.
I was on my feet in my front room
when
he was coming through, because I think it's just a great story of someone's commitment to a dream and then making the dream happen. That's wonderful. That you know, to unpick the truth behind the Olympics is not to diminish the performances on the track or anywhere else. It's amazing what these people do. And this is a point, you know. This is a really important point. When you look any human being doing anything at the peak of potential, whether it's riding a bike or writing a book or running on the track or being a true scientist or whatever, even looking after children, someone who's really, really skilled and it's their vocation, and it's awesome to watch. Human potential is limitless. It really is. But it's interesting to, as someone highlighted to their credit, he was a politician this week, that 7% of children in this country go to private schools, but private school pupils have been responsible for about 40% of the medals in this Olympics from Britain. Now, you imagine if everyone had the same sporting potential, exporting opportunity that those people have at private schools. How many medals will we be winning then, when you're tapping into that vast reservoir of untapped and probably for a lifetime, you know, unfulfilled potential that is there? I remember a story involved the Isle of Wight when I was doing I used to work on a Monday once a week for South Today at one point. And I did this story on a couple, and where they are now, but they were a couple, they'd started out at pool, and they were trampoline coaches, and they were teachers. So they were at a school in pool. That school produced British and world trampoline champions from that school. They then moved to, I think it was Medina, and became teachers there. They started up the coaching. The same happened at Medina. Now, both of those groups of young people who achieved those incredible feats on trampolining, if those two trampoline coaches had not been teachers at those two schools, they would probably have never got on a trampoline, never mind succeeded as they did. Humanity is full of this extraordinary potential, but it is suppressed because you do not, if you're a few and you want to target, control, and direct the population, you do not want informed, sharp-thinking, open-minded people who are accessing their true potential. You don't want that. It's your worst nightmare. And so this is why society is structured to bring through the few, which are either part of these families or will serve them. And then you've got the mass of the population who are, in the words of Henry Kissinger, just useless eaters, most of them. That's how we're seen, cattle, as cattle. And it's about time the cattle had its day, and it's coming.
Okay, I asked you off air, I think it was about an hour ago, about the guy who was sadly shot everybody in the cinema. A story that gripped a lot of people, but some people are saying that was a put-up job.
Problem, reaction, solution. It's happening all the time. It's just another version of 9/11. You see, it's interesting that at the very same time that was happening, another one's just happened with the Sikh temple in America, one straight after the other, is that they're seeking to put through legislation in America to in effect, what the aim is to ban the ownership of weapons, private weapons. And people may say, oh, that's a good thing. I haven't got guns. I've never shot a gun in my life. I have no interest in it. But if you're, oh, yeah, we've got to stop these. If you want to get a gun, doesn't matter how many guns you ban, you're going to get a gun. If you want to carry out a crime or you want to kill someone, you'll get someone. They're available. But what they want to do in America is take out guns from the population before they have martial law. That's where we're going. I mean, if people only want to look at it in detail, it's already happening. You know, we have a president now that has the ability, and it's happening all the time, to sign a list of people presented to him by the CIA and what have you, who can be taken out, can be killed quite legally on the president's say-so. Americans. They can be killed in countries around the world, and if you look at the wording, it can happen in America as well. It's called the National Defense Act, and in the small print is this ability. And even some of the mainstream media have said, "Hold on a second, what is happening? The president can order the killing of someone, no charge, No trial, no evidence. They can take someone now, they can, in America, America is the laboratory. What's happening in America now is happening everywhere tomorrow, as we've seen in so many instances over the decades. They can now arrest someone without trial, without charge, and just keep them. This is what's happening while people are watching X Factor. And to be fair, to an extent, you know, being diverted by the Olympics, this is what's actually going on. Around the world. And the idea is to bring about a situation where we have a global society which would make George Orwell go, I understated it. It's worse than I thought it was going to be. And it's interesting when you look at the background to George Orwell, real name Eric Blair. Two people have...
relation.
Yeah, I hope not. But... two books were incredibly prophetic in predicting the society we're moving into so fast, and to a large extent we're already in. One was 1984 by George Orwell, Eric Blair, and the other one was Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. That was published in 1932. 1984 was published in 1948. And they're supposed to be novels. I've been saying for years and years they weren't novels. They were based on knowledge of what the projected agenda was. Because this agenda for the world is projected beyond decades ahead. And if you get access to the secret society network, which is operating in the background, then you can get access to that projected agenda. And you can write prophetic novels, which decades later people say, that's amazing, it's happening. Well, it turns out that Eric Blair was a student at Eton College, where the Royals go, at Windsor. His French teacher at one point was Aldous Huxley. Aldous Huxley introduced him to a secret society based in London called the Fabian Society. And that's where they got access to what the future agenda was. It seems that Huxley supported it and wrote the book on that basis, whereas Orwell didn't and was trying almost to his dying day to finish the book. To alert people. In fact, there are some researchers, they may well be true or correct, that say that it was called 1984 as a code, because that was the 100th anniversary of the Fabian Society. And the Fabian Society has a logo, and the logo is a wolf in sheep's clothing. It's the Fabian Society that created and still controls today the London School of Economics, which not only has produced, including the present leader of the opposition, not only produced many, many political figures in Britain, but also in America, major people from America who've had massive influence in American society in its direction, were educated at the London School of Economics. And it's called the Fabian Society after a Roman general called Fabius, whose claim to fame was never to fight battles that could be decisive, win or lose, but to weaken the opposition, the enemy, over a long period of time until they're so weak that then you walk in and take over. And that is what is happening to humanity. This is why they have crashed the economic system. This is what why they're doing what they have to Greece, thanks to Goldman Sachs, that is one of these bloodline family corporations. This is why what they're doing to Italy, to Spain, and on, and Portugal, and on it goes. They're bringing people to their knees. They're weakening them. They're weakening them through the rubbish they put in the food, the electromagnetic pollution that is everywhere now, and microwaves that undermines the human organism. They're doing it through economic means, and weakening and weakening and weakening. And when they think people are weak enough, then they want to move in and bring about the fully fledged Orwellian state. And we're moving there so fast. We have a prime minister. Of course, everything's inversion. This is why politicians lie. Who part of his election campaign was to roll back the Big Brother state introduced by Blair and the Labour government over those years. What has he done? He's been Big Brother on steroids since he got in. And this is what it is. You know, you have two political parties, usually in any country, that have any chance of forming a government. The one in government at any one time introduces this agenda. The one out of government opposes the agenda, so you think you have some kind of political debate and choice. And then we have a fast-cordon election. The opposition that opposed the agenda become the government. They now, like Cameron, go on introducing it. And the Labour Party, same in America with the Republicans, the Democrats, they become the opposition and they start opposing now what they introduced in government. And the common theme is whichever party is in power introduces the agenda, which is why that incessantly goes on, government after government after government, no matter who's in power. And this is why someone like Dominic Grieve will protect Blair, because they're all on the same side in the end. And this is what people need to understand. If we had a one-party state, and it was a one-party state, one party called one name, and it was the government infinitum, there would be a rebellion against that. Well, we have a one-party state, ladies and gentlemen. It's just got different names depending on who's in power at the time.
Yeah, I agree with that, totally. We've got 4 minutes, five minutes tops. Okay, I want to talk, can we do this in a couple of minutes, the chemtrails?
Yes.
Or is it something you would, you know, because obviously at the end of it, I want you to give a big plug to the show that's coming.
Chemtrails started in North America in the late 1990s, and they've expanded around the world. I've seen them everywhere I go. They've even got onto mainstream television news reports in places like Germany. We all know about contrails, where these streams of white, looks like smoke, come out the back of aeroplanes. But because it's condensation trails, they quickly disperse. But what chemtrails do is they don't disperse. They stay there, and then they just go further and further and further out and then eventually fall to the ground. They have been tested. They have things like barium and aluminium in them, which are desperately destructive, not least in terms of aluminium and Alzheimer's disease. They acidify water. They are terrible for vegetation and crops and plants. And I've sat in America in a desert area with a really massive, almost uninterrupted blue sky. And I've watched planes crisscross the sky for hours with pouring out these chemtrails. And by 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that blue sky is like a cloudy day. And I watched it for 7 days straight. I've been out into the bush areas and desert areas of South Africa to see a friend of mine, and there's chemtrails. It's happening everywhere. And when it starts to come out a bit, it's kind of leaked out. Oh, we're doing it to stop global warming. Well, there is no global warming, mate. It's all a scam, provable bloody fact. This is why they don't call it global warming anymore. They call it climate change. As temperatures fell and fell year on year on year. That's the excuse. But what it is, it's poisoning the population. There is a massive, massive, colossal agenda going on. And it comes down into the Isle of Wight because it's, you know, it's everywhere, but it's global. And I'll be exposing it in great detail at the Medina on the 15th of September and at Wembley a month later.
And this is not just a couple of hours. This is a big 10-hour thing.
This is 10 hours. It's, obviously, there'll be some breaks, you know. You know, mercy, shut him up. No, it'll be in four sections. It's about 1,500 illustrations and... Because you have to do that because you're connecting dots. You're putting strands together to form a tapestry. So you start with some dots, and then you go to new dots, but you bring the dots you've covered with you to the new dots. Mm. Now the layers are starting to connect, and by the end, it's like, oh, my God, that's what's happening. Because it makes sense, but only when you connect the dots, and that's why it takes so much time, and that's why I've been on the trail for 25 years. That's why I work 15 hours a day, because you've got to understand the dots, and then you've got to connect them, and that takes a lot of work and a lot of research.
Will you get any, you know, backlash from the local event? Will you get people standing in your way trying to stop it or trying to?
I wouldn't have thought so today. I mean, you know, they tried it in the past. They've tried it in many parts of the world in the past, but. You know, if you keep walking and you don't stop and defend yourself, you just keep walking. Well, they've got to keep up with you, haven't they? And, you know, I think I've worn them out, really. But, you know, if you keep going, you get somewhere. When you stop and try to defend yourself, oh, why are you saying these terrible things about me? I couldn't care less, mate. Couldn't care less. You know, it's an interesting point that when people open their mouths, they think they are making a statement about the people they're attacking. They are always making a statement about themselves. And in the last 20-odd years in my life, a lot of people in this country, and indeed on this island, have made some rather unpleasant statements about themselves, which are now increasingly looking ludicrously silly, as what was in my books is on the television news.
Hey, look, it's been fascinating. I could talk to you for a lot longer than an hour.
Cheers, Ian. All the best of this station, too. I tell you what, it's bloody great to have an alternative to the mainstream on the Isle of Wight, and we need to support it, because if we don't, then the mainstream get the... They get the stage. And do you think the county press is going to tell you the truth about what's going on the Isle of Wight? Are you kidding? Not a chance.
Thanks for being there, and good luck with the show, and good luck at Wembley.
Cheers, Ian.
Good.
Thank-